Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live Automation Masterclass, and we're going after a very specific feeling, pirate radio energy. That moment, where it sounds like someone's pushing a slightly illegal broadcast chain too hard. The mids get louder and more forward, the top end opens up, the room feels wider, the signal gets dirtier, tighter, more urgent, but your mix doesn't fall apart, and your sub doesn't vanish. The whole point is this. You're going to build one knob performance macros that do the work of 12 automation lanes, but they're musically safe. You can ride one macro like a DJ, or draw one line in arrangement view, and your track suddenly has movement, tension, release, and attitude. We'll build a rock that lives on your music bus, not on your sub. That's the first big pro move here. Then we'll make three macros. Macro 1, pirate drive, density, grit, mid focus, glue, safety. Macro 2, drop open. Brightness, filter opening, width, impact. Macro 3, dub cuts, throws, splashes, quick cut style moments. And I'll add coaching while we go, so you don't accidentally build a louder knob instead of an energy knob. Alright, Ableton open. Let's set the routing first. In arrangement view, make your groups or buses, one for drums, one for bass, one for music. Music means synths, pads, stabs, atmospheres, vocals, effects, basically everything that isn't the core drums and dedicated sub. Now create a pre-master audio track. Route drums bus, bass bus, and music bus into pre-master, and then pre-master goes to the master. Here's the philosophy. Your aggressive macro processing is usually best on the music bus, because you can abuse it without wrecking the kick and sub fundamentals. If you put it on pre-master, you can, but your ranges need to be gentler. Think of pre-master as broadcast chain territory. Music buses turn the synths into a weapon territory. Now, on the music bus, drop an audio effect rack. Show the chain list, but keep it as one chain for now. This first part is your radio transmitter strip. Add devices in this order. EQ8. Saturator. Roar if you're on Live 12, or overdrive if you're not. Glue compressor. Limiter. This order matters. You're shaping first, then saturating, then crunching, then gluing, then catching any accidents. Now open macro mappings and create macro 1. Name it Pirate Drive. And I recommend you actually name it Pirate Drive Safe, because you'll probably duplicate a hard version later. Let's map it, device by device, with ranges that behave. Start with EQ8. This is where we do two things, protect the low end and create that mid-forward radio presence. On filter 1, make it a high pass at 24 dB per octave. Map the frequency to macro 1 from 30 Hz up to 65 Hz. That range is a sweet spot. When you drive distortion and compression, the low rubbish blooms. This high pass creeping up slightly as the macro rises stops the mix from turning into a flabby cloud. You're basically making room for the sub and kick to stay clean, while the music gets angrier. Now set a mid bell, filter 4. Put it around 900 Hz. Don't map the frequency. Keep it stable. Map the gain from 0 dB to plus 2.5 dB, and map the Q from 0.7 to 1.4. Teacher note, that Q increase is the secret sauce. A static boost can get honky or shouty, but a controlled, slightly tightening bell as you push the macro makes it feel like the signal is being pushed through a narrow, hype transmission path. It reads as intensity, not as random EQ. Optional, if you want more edge, add a high shelf up around 7 to 10 kHz and map it from 0 to plus 1.5 dB. Keep it small. Drum and bass playback levels punish harshness. Next device, saturator. Set the mode to analog clip. Turn soft clip on and leave it on. Map dry from 0 to plus 6 dB and map output from 0 down to minus 3 dB. This is one of the biggest macro doesn't become a loudness knob moves. You're adding distortion drive, but you're also pulling output down as you push it, so the loudness stays closer. Now roar if you have it, or overdrive if you don't. With roar, choose a style like tube or OD. Map drive from 0 up to about 35%. If roar has a tone or color control, map it slightly from darker to brighter, but keep the range small. And crucially, map mix from 0% up to about 22%. That mix control makes it parallel by default, so you get character without shredding the whole signal. It's illegal transmitter crunch, but with a seatbelt. If you're using overdrive instead, map drive from 0% to 35%. Map tone from 35% to 55%. Map dynamics from 0% to 20%. Map dry slash wet from 0% to 18%. Again, notice the pattern. Parallel, small wet range, so it feels like a layer of dirt, not total destruction. Next, glue compressor. Set ratio to 2:1. Set attack to 10 milliseconds. Set release to auto, or around 0.3 seconds. Now map the threshold from 0 down to minus 8 dB. Keep makeup off, and map dry slash wet from 100% down to 70%. That dry slash wet mapping is a very advanced trick. As you turn the macro up, you're compressing more, but you're also blending in more dry signal, so the transients don't just disappear. This is how you get broadcast push without killing the groove. Finally, limiter. Set the ceiling to minus 0.8 dB. Map limiter gain from 0 to plus 2 dB. That's it. Small. Because if you let the limiter do the vide, you'll get that horrible, flat, constant loudness and you'll lose the feeling of motion. In a good macro rack, the limiter is a seatbelt, not the engine. Now, before we move on, do a quick calibration pass. This is important. Loop a busy 8 bars. Set macro 1 to 0%. Listen to the perceived loudness. If you have a meter, check short-term luffs, but your ears are fine too. Now set macro 1 to about 40%. If it suddenly feels way louder, don't fix it by reducing your entire track. Fix it inside the rack. Adjust the compensating outputs. That means saturator output mapping, the roar or overdrive mix range, and the limiter gain range. You want macro 1 to feel like density, urgency, forward mids, and controlled crunch, not like someone just turned the volume up. Now let's add macro shaping as a concept. Ableton macros are linear, but you can fake a curve by making the early part of the macro subtle, and the later part steeper. You've already done that by choosing sensible ranges. A little EQ, a little parallel dirt, threshold moving, dry slash wet changing. The magic tends to show up in the upper half, which is exactly what you want for performance. Here's a performance mindset I want you to adopt. Treat macro 1 like it has zones. From 0 to 15%, that's roll. Safe movement. 15 to 35, that's hype. Builds, fills, pre-drop lift. 35 to 55, that's transmit. Big moments, announcements. Maximum attitude. 55 and above, that's special effects only. One bar abuse. Not your default setting. If you start thinking like that, your automation editing becomes faster, because every region of the macro has a meaning. Now macro 2. Drop open. This is the macro that makes the build feel like it's opening up into the drop. We're going to do it in a club safe way. Widen highs, keep bass mono, brighten and open filters without whistling resonance. After distortion, add another EQ 8. Keeping it separate is cleaner because macro 1 is doing mid focus, and macro 2 is doing open and shiny. On this post EQ, set a low shelf around 120 Hz. Map its gain from minus 1.5 dB to 0 dB. So as you open the macro, you're releasing a touch of weight. Set a high shelf around 8 kHz. Map from 0 to plus 2 dB. Now optional but very effective. Add auto filter after that. Set it to a low pass, 12 dB. Map frequency from about 3.5 kHz up to 18 kHz. Map resonance from 0.7 to 1.1 only. Small. Teacher warning. Too much resonance at dB loudness is pain. It sounds exciting at moderate volume, and then you play it loud and it turns into a 3 to 6 kHz knife. Keep it restrained. Now add utility. Map width from 95% to 125%. Turn bass mono on, and set it around 120 Hz. That's a classic stability move. You get the feeling of width and lift, but your low end stays centered, and it translates to mono and club systems. Arrangement tip for macro 2. Automate it upward over the last 8 bars of a build, then snap it back to 0 at the drop. Or, if you like open drops, snap it back only to 20 or 30% so the drop stays wide but still has punch. Now macro 3. Dub cuts. This is where you get that old-school jungle performance vibe. Quick throws, splashes, and the illusion of a DJ cutting mids or tossing a phrase into space. Inside the audio effect rack, create two chains. Chain A is dry. Chain B is throw. On chain B, add echo. Set time to 1/8 dotted for that classic throw rhythm, or 1/4 if you want big wide throws. Set feedback around 25 to 35%. Filter the delay. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 8 kHz. This keeps throws from muddying the drop. After echo, add reverb. Decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds depending on tempo and taste. Size medium. Low cut 250 to 400 Hz. Now set chain B volume very low to start, even minus infinity if you want it totally hidden at macro 0. Map macro 3. Name dub cuts like this. Chain B volume from minus infinity up to around minus 10 dB. Echo dry slash wet from 0 to 20%. Echo feedback from about 18% to 45%. Reverb dry slash wet from 0 to 12%. Performance tip. Macro 3 should not live halfway up. It's a momentary button, but on a knob. Most of the time it's at 0, and you spike it on the last word of a vocal, the last snare of a fill, a single stab, or the end of an 8-bar phrase. Optional cut vibe. Put in a Q3 before the rack, and map the mid gain so it quickly drops towards silence in only the early part of the macro. That way, when you crank macro 3, you get a hint of that mid kill then throw feeling. Now, a couple of advanced protect yourself upgrades, because this is a performance system, and performance systems need failure modes. First, harshness protection. At the very end of the rack, add an EQ8 with a gentle bell around 3.5 to 5 kHz. Map a tiny negative gain as macro 1 rises, like 0 down to minus 1.5 dB. This is counterintuitive but brilliant. As distortion and brightness increase, you're simultaneously shaving the most painful area. You keep excitement but reduce fatigue. Second, sub-protection. Just in case your music bus still has some low content, add a utility at the very top of the rack. Map its gain very gently, like 0 down to minus 1 dB. But only for the top end of macro 1, so it only starts to pull down after about 60 or 70% macro. Think of it as panic headroom. If you accidentally crank the knob, the system resists self-destruction. Now let's talk automation and performance. You've got two approaches. If you want surgical control, draw automation in arrangement view. A good baseline in DNB is, keep macro 1 around 0 to 10% in verses or rollers, where you want headroom and punch. Bring it up to 10 to 20% over a 16-bar phrase for subtle hype. Push 30 to 45% for pre-drop tension, and reserve 45 to 55% for the last couple bars, before the drop, or for a 1-bar transmitter overload moment. If you want it to feel like pirate radio for real, perform it. Map macro 1 to a MIDI knob. Arm automation recording. Do 2 or 3 takes of you writing it like a DJ. Then clean it up. Use simplify envelope once, gently, and then manually shape it into obvious gestures. 2 to 4 breakpoint moves per bar is a great target. The goal is to keep human intent but remove jitter that can make the limiter chatter. And do your checks. Always check in mono. Drop open shouldn't hollow out the center. Check at low monitoring level. You should still feel presence increase when macro 1 rises. Check in headphones. Listen for that 3 to 6 kHz buildup and stereo weirdness. Now, a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't put pirate drive on the sub or bass bus. You'll smear phase, lose weight, and your low end becomes unpredictable. Don't map big gains without compensation, or it becomes a volume knob. Don't overwiden without bass mono, or your re sounds huge in headphones and collapses in the club. This audio version is shortened for playback.